This morning we are continuing our series titled Real Relationships. We are focusing upon our relationships with our family today, and there is no institution on earth that is more sacred than that of the family. None more basic. As the moral and religious atmosphere is in the family unit, so will it be in the church, and so will it be in the nation, and even in our society. Friends, this is the very reason the Bible speaks directly to what a Christian family should reflect to the world. And I believe there is no greater witness than a family founded upon the principles of Christian love. I believe there is no greater witness to a watching world than a family that conducts itself with its relationship to a risen Savior in mind. I believe the world needs this witness I'm talking about. I believe our culture is in desperate need of an answer to the steadily erosion of the family structure, and I believe we as Christians have the answer with which the watching world is seeking. And let me explain here. All through the scriptures, we see a loving Heavenly Father seeking to relate to the creation. We see a loving God seeking to relate to people who He created in a loving and most intimate way. We read of the accounts in the Old Testament of Hosea and his wife Gomer being the living representation of God's relationship with Israel. We read of the intimate love and passion that God holds for all of His children in the Song of Songs. We read of this continually all throughout the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we read of the church being adopted into God's family. We read of Jesus, who is the groom, who died and sacrificed all He had while living on this earth. Not for His benefit, but for the benefit of His bride, which is the church. We hear of Jesus speaking of going to prepare a place for the members of the church. Clearly, He was speaking of heaven. And now I want you to understand this morning that Jesus used this imagery of the family and marriage to illustrate the relationship which God has and yearns to have with each of us. In fact, Jesus even spoke of the custom of His day concerning weddings. Once the bride and groom were engaged and the dowry was paid to the father of the bride, the groom would depart and go and prepare a home for both of them to live after they were married. During this separation, the bride took all steps she could take to make herself more beautiful and prepare herself all the more for the arrival of the groom. These preparations would make her more pure, more chaste, and without spot or blemish. She sought to be without defect for her groom. She did not know the day, the time, or the moment when he would arrive. She had to remain ready. She had to be prepared. She had to anticipate the upcoming time, which could be at any moment. And when the groom finished all his preparations, which typically took 1 year or longer, he would gather his friends. He would gather his family. And others would join him traveling down the street with great fanfare of celebration, and he would be direct, he would be intentional, he would be anticipating seeing his bride for the first time in over a year. Now be sure, the bride-to-be would not know he was coming until she heard the sounds of celebration ever coming closer. And friends, if she waited till she heard the sounds to prepare herself, it would be too late. And yet if she was diligent and spent her time in preparation, all would be worth the time, the effort, and the energy spent for that day. And yes, it would be truly a day of celebration. In fact, it would be a day to be remembered for sure. Now, friends, be sure that Jesus is the bridegroom. Listen to His words from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while He is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast." Jesus called Himself the bridegroom, and don't miss this. Jesus has come to pay the dowry for His bride. The price He paid was His body and His blood. This is the very reason why the scriptures speak of you and me and all the church having been bought with a price, the very high price, the price of the life of Christ. The life of the bridegroom Himself was the cost which has been paid for you and for me. And now watch, if Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is His bride and He has come to purchase His bride, and He has, friends, listen once again to the words of Jesus. "In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I hope you're seeing the connection here. Jesus, who is the bridegroom, has paid the price for his bride. And the bride of Christ is the church. And now he has left his bride to prepare a place for he and his bride to live forever and ever. And one day he, meaning Christ, meaning Jesus, who is the bridegroom, will return for his bride, the church. Are you seeing the connection? I hope so. Are you seeing your responsibility and mine? We are in the time when the bride would await the arrival of the bridegroom, and we too must be making preparations for the day when he, Jesus, will arrive again. We too must seek to allow ourselves to become more Christ-like, to become more holy and chaste and ever presentable to Jesus when he comes back again. And I hope you caught this imagery. It is oh so very wonderful, and it's oh so very special, and unfortunately it often gets missed. It is to this end the Apostle Paul speaks of the marriage relationship in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, which we read earlier. Listen to the reading from the book of Ephesians once again. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking, and listen to what Paul's talking about. I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Friends, we must all understand the foundation of this entire image of the marriage relationship, and the relationship between Christ and the church is found in verse 21. And it states this, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Other translations state it this way, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the foundation, friends. To submit or to be subject to one another. And now I'm very aware of the abuses of this passage that it has suffered over the years by individuals taking it out of context. The basis is the mutual submission one to another out of reverence or holy fear or respect and honor for Jesus our Lord and Savior. This does not place the husband in a higher position than the woman, nor does it place the woman in a higher authority than the husband. The problem for most of us with this verse is that we as the church really don't submit or subject ourselves all that well to Jesus. I will say that again. We as the church, universal, don't really submit or subject ourselves all that well to the authority of Christ. This should not be so and should not be the case. We should willingly submit to the lead and lordship of Christ in our individual lives and in the life of the church. Let's face it. If we can't submit our hearts and lives and souls to the living Lord Jesus, who is the coming bridegroom, then how will we ever expect to subject ourselves to another human being? We won't and we can't. And this is the very reason why the divorce rate is so high in the church and outside of the church. I get the fact about the dangers of domestic abuse and violence and even infidelity. And yes, I have advised individuals to separate and to even leave their spouse because of the concern for their own physical safety. The problem is, we as the bride of Christ have a loving and faithful and grace-giving, completely honoring one with a capital O in Christ, and he will never do anything to harm you or me. He is totally faithful. He is totally pure. He is totally good, and he is the one who will look out for your best interest, and there is no excuse for the church to not submit to the lordship of Christ. And we must begin as individuals and members of the church to learn how to submit to Christ, and more fully and more completely if we are ever to be prepared when he, meaning Jesus, returns to take you and me and the entire church home. Friends, this message is for all of us to learn how to and to more fully submit to the will, the guidance, and leading of God in our lives, to literally line ourselves up under Jesus, allowing him to move in our lives and shaping and forming us to be more holy, to be more chaste, to be more pure through the power of his Holy Spirit. I think Albert Einstein got it right when he stated this. When Albert Einstein and his wife were being interviewed on the occasion of their golden anniversary, they were asked the routine question, "To what do you attribute the success of your marriage?" Einstein replied, "When we first got married, we made a pact. It was this, that in our life together, I would make all the big decisions, and she would make all the little decisions. And we have kept to it for 50 years. That, I think, is the reason for the success of our marriage." Then he looked up and added, "A strange thing is that in 50 years, there hasn't been one big decision." Friends, it's about subjecting ourselves one to another. We're going to watch a video here. Okay, all right, technical difficulties. I wish you could have heard the video. We could have heard the wisdom from Howard and Marianne, being married for 66 years. Is that correct? Coming up. So much to learn, much to glean, much to grow through and listen. Sadly, we cannot share that with you here this morning. Friends, we must understand that marriage is a small picture of Jesus' relationship with the church to a watching world. I want you to hear that again. Marriage is a picture of Jesus' relationship with the church to a watching world. This is the meaning of the entire passage we read earlier. Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. Let's briefly look at each of the roles, the role of the husband and the role of the wife. Jesus sacrificed all he had and all he was while on the earth before ascending to heaven for the sake of his bride, to purchase her and to secure the church for himself. And let's listen to the words of the Apostle Paul once again. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy and cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of the body of Christ." Now, let me be clear. The role of husband, as described by the Scripture, is latent, or it's filled with the idea of submission to Christ, and it's filled with the idea and the understanding of sacrifice. Jesus paid it all for the church, and Jesus gave all he had for his bride. And friends, if you are a husband here this morning, then the call is clear for you today to love your wife as Christ loves the church. Do not hold anything back from her. Do not withdraw from her. Do all you can to present her to yourself as a radiant, without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but presenting her as holy and blameless. Husbands, love your wife as you love yourself and submit to Christ in the call which he has given to you, the call to love your wife as Jesus loves the church. Allow Jesus to lead you and to show you how to more fully submit yourself to Christ and then to your wife in your love for her. Men, you truly do have a high calling. For if you are walking in the role of Jesus in your marital relationship and you are representing Christ to the watching world through your marriage, to all of us single people here today, I say submit Submit to Jesus in your lives. Learn how to follow Jesus each day, to learn how to walk worthy of Him, all the while bringing Christ glory as you submit to Him. To the wives, again, let us listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, let me be clear. If the husband loves his wife as Jesus loves the church, then mostly there will not be an issue with the wife submitting as the church submits to Christ. Now, I understand the entire problem of the church failing to submit to Jesus in a full and complete manner, yet this does not give you women a free pass in your marriage. You are walking in the role of the church in the relationship with Jesus and His bride, the church. This role you carry is one where the watching world will see how the church should respond to a loving Savior, and this role you walk in will truly be a witness to society. Notice the clear qualifications the Apostle Paul uses here. Submit as the church submits to Christ. Submit as unto the Lord. And this provides the basis for all women who are married and allows us all to understand the necessary environment for which submission should take place. You see, Jesus will never harm. He will never treat His bride harshly. He will never take advantage of or even abandon His bride. And if you find yourself in any of these situations today, I advise you to get godly counsel. If you are in danger, then I advise you to leave. If you are being abused, I advise you to walk away. If not, then follow the Spirit of God leading you and submit to the risen Savior, the bridegroom of the church. And then, as you submit to Christ, submit to your husband. If you are here today and single, I challenge you to grow in your relationship, in your submission to Jesus, to fall in love with the bridegroom of the church. May you grow in your relationship with Christ, who can give you what no mortal man can ever provide. And friends, only Jesus can give you true, satisfying love. And no person, no man can ever provide that to you. Friends, may we all grow in our submission to our bridegroom Christ. And may we all accept the role which reflects to the world the relationship with Jesus and the church. May we all grow and learn and subject our entire lives first to Christ and then one to another. And may we turn our attention to the video one more time.
We met in December of 1948. We were engaged in April of 1949, and we were married in October of 1949. And from then, life just happened.
Okay. All right. Howard, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, we met after a basketball game.
Okay.
And Legion used to put on parties after the social, after we happened to be there at the same time. And I don't know what happened. I saw her, she saw me, and she worked at the bank. And I says, oh, I gotta marry her. She's got all the money. So that's why I had to hurry it up, you know. But I did find out that wasn't true.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't have all the money.
No.
Okay. How long have you both been married?
65 years last October.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What?
I'd say secure.
Okay.
And loving.
Yeah.
Okay.
To get to 65 years, it takes time.
Okay.
And God has to really bless us in health, because there's so many people that have had happy marriages that there's one or the other spouse has had a health problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, it reminds me of sea glass. This was in a devotional I read not too long ago about sea glass. It's tumbled by the waves, and it's tumbled and by the waves, and it's tumbled. Finally, it gets on dry ground, and all the sharp edges have been worn to smooth. That's how a marriage is. It starts out with a lot of rough edges, but through the years we've got here.
Well, I think he's been with us all through the years. We've not ever really had any dire experiences or anything, but I feel he's been with us and has guided us. Shouldn't be looking at you to talk, should I?
It's all good.
I lost my train. God has been with us, but it was with Marianne longer, because before I got married, I always thought I was a Christian because I was in a Christian home, but I didn't practice. Okay. So when we got married, then I was in church every Sunday, and God grew on me, and he's been a third member, but I'm afraid I haven't called on him enough for guidance, but it's getting there.
Amen. Well, thank you for your honesty. I don't think all of us have called on the Lord enough as what we should. But what have you learned about serving and sacrifice and love through your marriage relationship?
Takes two. And it's a learning experience. You don't get to 50 years by going off by yourself. It takes two. And you have to sacrifice. It's two different lives coming together as one, and you have to be one. Can't be selfish.
You have to give 100% to make it work.
100%.
Yeah.
100% all the time.
All right.
It's not a 50-50 deal.
Okay. So it's 100% deal versus 50-50.
It works great. Works really good if you keep your spouse happy.
You got to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And Howard does.
We haven't. I don't think we've ever fought.
We haven't, never.
And I think if you have to remember, don't jump to conclusions. Don't speak angry words, because even though your spouse might forgive you, they're there.
I think when I hear about Howard seeing Marianne and Marianne seeing Howard, I think about Jesus seeing you and you seeing Christ. And Jesus falling in love with you, and he fell in love with me, and he fell in love with the church. Then I think when I hear about, you know, sometimes the rough edges are there, I think about what Jesus wants to do with his bride, the church. He wants to present his church as holy and blameless and perfect, radiant, without spot. He wants to present you and me unto himself. For you, my friends, are his prize. You, my friends, are why he came. You, my friends, are what he purchased and who he purchased. And then when I think about hearing about Howard and Marianne saying that God has to be in the center, and so what I'm hearing is it's a love relationship. It's allowing Christ to do what only God can do, what only Jesus can do, and it's keeping him at the center. This morning, it matters not if you're married or single. There's a message that's loud and clear for all of us, and that's to allow God to have his own way in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. If you are married, then yeah, step up to the plate. And if you're a husband, then submit and sacrifice and honor your wife as Christ loves the church and love her with that self-sacrificing agape love. If you're a wife and you're here today, then I say submit. Understanding that this is not a blind submission, understanding that Jesus submits to us, and as the husband submits to the wife, so the wife will return in submission unto the husband. And friends, it's Ephesians 5:21. It's that mutual subjection one to another. You see, Christ submitted unto the church by laying down his life for you and for me, and we as the church ought to submit our lives unto Jesus by submitting our wills and desires to him. What a challenge for all of us. May we all step up to the plate and may we all embrace the challenge, the love relationship, allowing those rough edges to be smoothed off through the power of the Holy Spirit and allowing God to be in our midst each and every day. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this image of your relationship with your bride, the church. The image of marriage, the image of husband and wife, and how you yearn for it to work. Father, we confess that sometimes we've made a mess of things in our marriages. Sometimes we've made a mess of things in our relationship with you, and sometimes we've made a mess of things in our own life. But Father, we look to submit to you. Challenge us, grow us, move us to submit more fully unto your care, unto your will, unto your desire, allowing you to be the supreme authority in our lives. And Jesus, may you just move us and guide us and do a wonderful work in us. And may we draw near to you, seeking to place you at the center of our lives. And Father, we yield ourselves unto you. Smooth out the rough edges. Smooth out all the wrinkles and the spots and make us holy, make us chaste, make us pure. For we truly are your bride. And Jesus, we bless you. And Father, meet us as we seek to submit unto your holy care and unto our Lord and our Savior and our bridegroom to come, Christ our King. Amen.
As we take a look up at the cross here, there isn't anything that God wouldn't do for us. As Jesus died on that cross, he did it for you so you could have a relationship with him. He doesn't want you to carry anything with you. He doesn't want you to have anything in your life that keeps him from having a pure, true relationship with you. So please understand these altars are open. If you just want to praise him, you just want to thank him, if you just want to talk to him, these altars are open.
Friends, the bridegroom stands to receive you and to receive me each and every blessed day, each and every waking hour. May we be courageous enough to meet the risen Christ each and every blessed day, and may we fully submit and subject our lives, hearts, and wills unto him. And may you truly come home to the role that God has beckoned you unto, the role of submission unto him. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you go and be blessed. Amen.